Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Welcome to it, the Monday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Got to be like a new paint job, new open. TJ Henning, the magic fingers and ear. Got a little blend there. Have to get my mullet combed and start headbanging to Ozzy to start off.
There
well, there's some hip-hop from you.
Mm-hmm.
We are loaded up. I'm back from state baseball. Big thanks to TJ Henning for Friday. And Mr. Kranak and TJ on Saturday. And yes, if you're in Lincoln, we are on FM 101.5. We don't have an ice cream cake to celebrate, but it sounds awesome.
Oh, it sounds great.
So welcome to the Monday edition of Hail Varsity Radio. We are busy. Garrett Nelson, 2019 verbal commit on Saturday from Scott's Bluff. Defensive end will join us on Hail Varsity in 15 minutes. Garrett Nelson coming up shortly this hour. Next hour, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. We'll get caught up with Coach, get his thoughts on the weekend that was with Friday Night Lights Part 2, and a thought or two from Coach McBride on the passing of one of his mentors, Coach Kush from Arizona State. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, he was on site, on hand, had an amazing write-up on HailVarsity.com with some of the kids that impressed him. So we'll get Jay's thoughts on that. And a lot has been circulated here since this morning regarding former Husker and Packer Amon Green and what he had happened this morning and over the weekend with his run-in with the law regarding his daughter. So we will get Legal Mind from Vince Powers to join us and give us some thoughts on Amon Green's situation. Can join us, can tap the line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. You're welcome to do it. 402-466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5866. 5865 on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. Can email us if you like at Chris at HailVarsity.com. I threw out a fake Twitter there. Didn't mean to do it. So that's what we're lined up with today. Garrett Nelson in 15 minutes. Good weekend. Were you at Memorial Stadium on this Friday? I was not. TJ, we know some folks that were.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite impressive when you look at what happened and so many Nebraska fans that came out. So we were kind of throwing out, all right, what's the number going to be? How many folks were going to be there? And according to Jacob Padilla, the official number, 6,812. That's almost 7K.
Doubled in last year.
Doubled to watch some go routes, to watch some drills, to cheer on 230 athletes from all over the country. I don't quite know how many the four-star and five-star count was, but it was excessive, and that's impressive. So, Nebraska fans, you are lauded as the best in America. You're the most knowledgeable. And you are extremely, extremely passionate, and you've shown that every home football Saturday. You've shown that on road football Saturdays. You've shown that in bowl games. You've shown it in sellouts at Memorial Stadium. You've taken over Lawrence. You've taken over Evanston. You've taken over Ames. You've taken over South Bend. And you took over the west side of the stadium on a June Friday for 230 recruits, 10 of which are committed to you. The other 220, you gave them something to think about. So if I could pour you a virtual beer and toast you, I'm doing that. Because Nebraska has a couple of things right now. The greatest export, and I love me some corn, had some grilled corn last night.
Nice.
But it is Nebraska football. That's the national passion. in this state, okay, is football. The other part of it is the fan base and how much they care, how much they want to win, and how much they want to help. How can you help? Well, you can donate, you can go, you can scream, be that 12th man. You can send your kids there if he's a phenomenal athlete, can set the edge even better. But you can also show up and be vocal and let some of these kids with amazing offers and opportunities, Ohio State, Alabama, Penn State, USC, go down the blue blood list and give these kids something to think about because of what Nebraska is. And a major assist to Nebraska fans. I need to spend a couple more minutes on it because it can't go without recognition. It's been recognized, but you need to be told thank you. If from one guy who covers Nebraska football to another, good for you and your efforts. And you gave guys like Micah Parsons and TJ Pledger and some other studs. Griffith, Howard's son. I mean, you gave some really potential game changers that come in at a level of ability so far ahead of what your normal high school kid is. You gave these kids something to think about and a reason to come back in the fall when it's not just 7,000 of you. It's actually Wisconsin that's coming to town. It's actually Ohio State that's coming to town. So it is not really taken for granted by this state, the passion of the Nebraska fan base. But these recruits, this is the first impression they got, many of them. They'll get on Twitter or they'll get on social media and Coach Dub or Dante or Bray or Langsdorf, or Riley, or Perella, go down the list. Diaco, hey, come check out Nebraska. You've never been here. All that's said, well, it's pretty true. It's a pretty awesome place. So give us a shot, and you're left with your mouth dropped wide open and thinking about if it's this crazy for camp, it'll be seven times off the hook for a major game that decides the West.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to ramble a few minutes on that because I didn't know how many was going to show up. But I said, you know what? Because I said 3,500 last year. I was about on. Okay,
you were.
I wasn't here Friday. So I thought, you know what? Now, it wouldn't shock me, as beautiful as Friday night was.
No, it's great.
It could have been 20. Okay? It could have been 20.
Well, I think the Fan Fest before really helps. I mean, that was a great idea, giving all that free food and got people just to hang out with their families and then just go right there.
Like, introduce yourself to your fellow peers. College kids grinding through summer session.
Mm-hmm.
Here's free pizza.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Yeah, here's free Chick-fil-A. Like, that'd be something great to do. But, man, just a lot of star-studded talent there that night. Buki, Howard Griffith's son, Houston. Ryan Clark's son, Jordan Clark, I believe.
Jordan.
Given an offer that weekend. And of course, Micah Parsons, the guy, the five-star athlete, he showed why. All of a sudden, he's just lining up as a wide receiver and burning four-star quarterbacks.
Winning go routes.
I mean, that's just crazy. And you hopefully have that guy back again. I think Buki mentioned that maybe the game that they're all coming back for will be that Wisconsin game for an official visit. And that would be a great atmosphere to come back for.
Is it not nice to ask if can they play?
Hey, you boys ready to suit up?
Yeah. Hey, it's a new NCAA waiver.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that Jay wrote about in his article, like that Micah Parsons kid. He thought he was a current player right now talking to one of the coaches, and then he's like, oh, crap, that kid's
this dude?
High school.
No, and Parsons, watching some of the footage of him, I mean, just an incredible athlete.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't get into the drill work, but I did like watching these extremely 0-60 quick, fast twitch dudes line up against some of the best corners in the nation. I loved that one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the same crap I used to do in the front yard with Junior and some of the neighbor kids. You throw up a punt and see who comes down with it. It's kind of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really impressive with what Nebraska fans delivered on Friday night. You know, another impressive part, too, was what the coaches have delivered, and that's getting all of these kids to campus for another camp, showcase, and let's do some relationship building. Coach Riley did spend a few minutes after camp on Friday talking about Keyshawn Johnson Jr. We'll get into that in a minute, but some quotes from Jacob Padilla's story here on what Riley expected. And he says, I didn't really know what to expect. I think it was awesome. What a great electric atmosphere, and we really appreciate it. Pretty good picture of some of these guys that are coming in and coming in tonight. And I think it's a good glimpse of how our fans and what they think of the team. That's really it, man. You got a chance to, hey, welcome to Nebraska. Here's what we think about you. We're spending the Friday night here to cheer and watch and observe. And you're spending the Friday night kind of showing us what you can do. And you know what? I don't care where you go. You can go to Rome on tour with your football team. You can go camp down at IMG, which is quite frankly a brilliant idea a year ago. Okay?
Yeah.
You can, I mean, listen, half of these kids are going to go visit Saban, and he'll be able to show them championships, and he'll be able to show them going to the NFL. Nebraska can do that too, not necessarily as recently as Saban can do from a championship standpoint, but from an NFL standpoint. Guys go to the league about everywhere. Riley can show his pedigree of all the NFL background he's got. But are you going to go down there and see a fan base as locked in as Nebraska's showed? Yeah. Without, I mean, listen, I know there was some orchestration to it, i.e., here's free food, here's free drinks, soda, and kind of walk around the West Stadium outside area. Like it's a game day. You can do that. And I think Alabama could put a good number up. But it just felt like real, is the best way to put it. Chase Williams, Buki, Manny Allen, Wilderman, Goodrich, Farniak, Moore, Pickering, all there. But, I mean, you had some really difference makers on the field on Friday night. So let's talk about Keyshawn Johnson Jr. because he's the dude who visited 48 times. I'm exaggerating the number, but probably not. And got this ball rolling. His flag team, when Keyshawn was a sophomore, came here. Some big-time difference-making athletes. So what Riley said about that, doors open, not a timetable, and it's still an option for Keyshawn to return. But some things that stuck out to me wording-wise with this was the variables part. As in, he's got a lot of variables. We're disappointed he's not with us. So there seems to me to be a checklist of things that need to happen to get back. Continuing on, wellness is a factor for Keyshawn going home. And the possibility of enrolling part-time, also taking care of that progress towards his degree and getting in great shape. Other comments that Riley made, get in shape. Be here because you want to be here and compete because you'll need to compete against some of the dudes that are here and we're bringing in. Mm-hmm. You can't be out of shape, man. You got to want it. You got to do that for yourself. You got to do that first. You got to show the commitment.
Oh, yeah. It's not high school anymore where you can just get by with on your own athleticism and skill. You got to put in the work.
So that door is open and they'll deal with it when he's physically and mentally ready to do it. So, you know, it sounds more and more like that. Riley, with his experience and his years and knowing the hype and knowing the pressure and knowing the lineage, I think he just felt best for Keyshawn looking at all of these things. Are you going to workouts? Jay says no. Are you getting to practice? Are you doing the weight training? Are you behind schedule already because of nothing that you could do about it, but you had the appendectomy? Now, you're not in shape now. You're missing workouts. What's your commitment level? What's your attitude like? And Riley's like, man, this guy just isn't ready to be here, and I can't have him here. I can't protect him.
And I'm sure the relationship he has with his father actually helped him this point, and that he felt comfortable going to him and being like,
think
hey,
about
here's,
how
the,
much he
here's
cares,
what's happening right now.
Think about how much he cares about the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's to just throw it out there and say, you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
There's variables. There's a checklist to hit. Are you in shape? Do you want to play football? Decide. So Riley spent a few minutes after Friday night kind of giving you a rundown there. But kudos to Nebraska fans, and you are earning that rep of the greatest fans in all of college football. 7,000 of you. And if there was another camp this Friday, you know, when youth baseball's done in some circles, you might have had 10.
Might have.
So that was pretty cool to see and catch all the coverage. An hour away, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride will be with us. Less than an hour. Jay Moore, also in 1 hour. His thoughts on Friday Night Lights. Vince Powers, a brilliant legal mind in Lincoln. He'll weigh in on what's next for Amon Green when it comes to his legal difficulty. And we'll get caught up with Garrett Nelson, Scott's Bluff defensive end, outside linebacker. Garrett Nelson will join us. 2019 verbal commit for Nebraska, was at the camp session that opened things up a couple of weeks ago. How about Sauter Heyman? How about Rick and the gang? Your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. See Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They are very beautiful, and they are eco-friendly, 100% sustainable, and 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See why pure-grown diamonds are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. Garrett Nelson up next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and welcome in verbal commit from Scott's Bluff, junior to be Garrett Nelson joining us. Garrett, thanks for taking a few minutes. How are you?
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate you taking the time to listen to me.
Oh, man, thank you for picking the phone up. We'll just keep giving each other compliments. That's the way to do it. How you doing? How you feeling? You said yes on Saturday. How was the process for you to kind of make your decision at this point about a week after you got the offer?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you know, I'm feeling great. You know, I'm glad. When I picture this in the past, I thought, you know, so much would change. You know, it's like, it'd be like an opening gate, and like I would like understand everything now. But I'm really looking back on it, I'm really glad nothing's changed. You know, still working hard, still working out a lot, and just, you know, being myself, and, you know, laughing, having fun with friends and family, and just keep, you know, working hard. And saying yes will probably be the best decision of my life going to this college.
Garrett Nelson with us on Hail Varsity Radio, junior to be Scott's Bluff standout, defensive standout, and a Husker to be. And Garrett, tell me a little bit about your mindset when you got to camp almost 3 weeks ago, that first Friday Night Lights session. What were you wanting to do at camp? What were you wanting to show the Nebraska coaches?
Showing up to that camp, I know my mindset was to work hard in that camp, you know, hustle everywhere, be the first one in line, lead the line and just get some good reps in the camp and impress some coaches. And obviously that worked, and I got the two offers that morning, then Nebraska offered that night, and I'm really glad I went to the camp. And my mindset was correct for that camp.
Hey Garrett, were there any guys you really bond with over the two camps that you became good friends with?
Prospects or players at Nebraska?
Both.
Well, the prospects I've bonded with is Cameron Jurgens. I saw him at the Rival St. Louis. I didn't see him at the Friday Night Lights. I don't know if he was busy with family stuff, but that's okay. I met him, and he's a great guy. But Macy Maypoo, met him, great guy, really nice kid. You know, big, just large tank man, throw me around if he wanted to. But yeah, he's super nice kid. Brendan Bookie, met him. He's a great guy. Really soft-spoken type of guy, but on the field he's an animal, and I really appreciate his mindset when he gets on defense. Nothing, you know, nothing's getting past him. Nobody's catching a ball when he's defending him. But Mick Stoltenberg and Freedom. I can't pronounce his last name, but
we call him Freedom too.
Yeah, those two I've bonded with a lot. Tanner Farmer is another one I met last Friday when I arrived there to commit. Those Mick and Freedom and Tanner have all been, you know, really helpful and super nice, and they feel like, you know, I've known them forever, as well as the coaches. They treat me as life, like I've known them my whole life, and I feel so at home when I'm with them, and it's great. I can't wait to be in the college.
Garrett Nelson with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Garrett, tell me a little bit about how you connected with Coach Perella, and then also spend a few minutes, if you can, or not minutes, but a few thoughts on Coach Diaco, both of those guys that are in charge of this defense.
Coach Perella is my second father. I can already tell right now, because he looks, you know, it's kind of a spitting image of my dad, you know, facial wise. They look the same, and then they act the same. But I'm gonna enjoy being in this company for the next couple of years. And when times are tough, or I'm tired, or I got something going on, I'm definitely gonna go to him and talk to him, because he reminds me so much of my father. His mindset, the way he acts, carries himself, and how his outlook on life is so incredibly similar. I couldn't ask for a better coach coming into the future, and same as Coach Diaco. And he's the fire of that defense. I'll tell you what, what he instilled in me this past weekend is definitely defense I want to be on in the next couple of years. And you know, he put it perfectly. You know, offense, when they mess up, they get the punt. You know, the defense doesn't. When we mess up, you know, we lose games. And that definitely stuck with me, and love that mentality going into a defense. You know, we never give up. We never get off a play. You know, take it to them, dominate every single time, and just scream, shout, be a psycho, have fun, play football. So it's all about, and I love it.
Scream, shout, be a psycho, and play football. I like that. That's a T-shirt. And it sounds like it's more than a T-shirt. Coach Diaco, a couple of other impressions he left with you. I mean, just his – you laid out his philosophy, but from a teaching and a drilling standpoint, how easy was it to kind of capture or learn what he was trying to get across?
Amazingly easy. He's so animated, and he explains everything. I talk with my hands a lot. I'm a very animated person. I talk, and he's the same way. And having that connection, and seeing how he explains things on film or in person is amazing. And the way, the tone, and he says it as well. If it's something important, he makes you sure that you know it's important. And
oh, sorry about that. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Now, obviously, after Friday Night Lights, you've kind of been the talk, but during it, five-star recruit Micah Parsons was impressive to the fans and a lot of the players as well. Did he just kind of blow you away, too, with his athleticism?
I didn't really get the – I watched him at – I mean, he's a big guy, you know. Mm-hmm. We're pretty much – we're similar size, but, you know, I wasn't – him being a defensive player and you know, going to the wide receiver side of the camp and running those routes against those cornerbacks is, you know, impressive. But I just I kind of wanted to, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of wanted to hop in there and see what I show him, what I got, have a little competition.
All right, I like
but,
that.
But I was a little restricted. But he's a very athletic man. Look forward to see him play and you know, do his thing.
Garrett Nelson's with us. A couple more minutes on Hail Varsity Radio. Garrett, now with your family background, your dad being a standout wrestler at Nebraska, you're so close. At least that's the impression I get from Jacob Padilla's story when he spoke with you on HailVarsity.com. But your father, your grandfather, you just the family is super tight, correct?
Yes, we're definitely family-oriented family, actually. Yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. We're a very family-oriented family. We love each other. You know, we depend on each other, and we just, no matter what happens, we're always there. And I really appreciate and thank God every day that I was blessed with such an amazing family to, you know, that support system in my life.
That's extremely important. What age, man, did you kind of put a goal out there to become a Husker? Do you remember?
It was it was almost similar to my father, because my father grew up on a dairy farm, you know, milking cows two or three times a day, and with, you know, 100 and 150 cows, and hand milking them, and
wow,
working all day, then going to work out at night. He came home this after a wrestling practice, and he told his mom, you know, I kind of want to wrestle, you know, I kind of want to wrestle at a college level, and he did. He jumped rope for 15 minutes each night after all those workouts and long days, and that's what, you know, I did. We don't necessarily have 150 dairy cows, but we do have a lot of stuff to do around our land, and working long days, and going to work out afterwards, and doing footwork and jumping rope for 50 minutes like he told me, and definitely instilled some work ethic in me. And I came home my freshman year. It was probably the beginning of my freshman year, and I saw highlights and of NFL players and college players, and I've seen that my whole life, and something clicked, and I came home and I told my mom, you know, I want to play Division I football, or to be a Division I athlete, period, because I didn't know my direction then, because I didn't know if I wanted to go for wrestling or football, because mm-hmm. I loved both equally, and I worked hard in both, and I guess football worked out.
It did. You got the offer, and you got the commitment, and part of 2019, Garrett Nelson with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Garrett, what's it mean to be from Western Nebraska? I have family out there. Many listening have family or are in Western Nebraska, but tell me a little bit about just what it means for you to be from that part of the state and getting a chance to be a Husker.
I can't really put it in words. It means so much to me. Having a very rare scholarship offer this early in Western Nebraska, having represent Western Nebraska in the Panhandle, it means a lot. And I pray that I represent them well. I represent the university well. I represent my family and myself well into going into the future. And I can't put into words anymore how much I appreciate everything that's happened in my life, and everything coaches and those who supported me in my life have done for me. And I just can't think of enough, and it means the world to me. I think about it every day, and I thank God every day that I had that opportunity.
Did you talk to Coach Perella at all about being a black shirt?
Oh yeah, he's fired up about it. He can't wait. Every time he talks to me, he just flexes everything. He just gets really excited, and he just can't he can't wait. And I love him for that. I love who he is as a person. Can't wait to spend, you know, four or five years of my life with them.
Garrett Nelson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Garrett, congratulations to you and your family, and thanks for giving us a few minutes here on Hail Varsity Radio. It's been a true pleasure to spend a few minutes with you. We'll do this again, and best of luck to you this summer and as your career continues on, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much for listening to me and taking notes on me. Hope you have a good day, and God bless.
Take care. Garrett Nelson with us on Hail Varsity. Awesome, dude. That guy is awesome. You can tell he's just super, super fired up. You can all figure out something in your life you've wanted so, so, so badly. Mm-hmm. This was it for him.
It was. And I think he maybe took a little offense to my Micah Parsons questions. I could hear, like, the confidence in the background, like, yo, I think I'm just as good as that guy. Like, did you get that sense at all?
I get that. The sense I get is...
It's like, yeah, I want to show that stuff off, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He, that was different. That's not anything against Nelson. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was just maybe shocked that the linebacker was catching Jerry Rice touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now, awesome stuff. And if you know or are from Western Nebraska, you know that when he's talking about family and work ethic and land and the dairy, I mean, it's just a perfect picture of that work ethic and that toughness. We'll spend a few minutes here on a Hot Reads topic next.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. 7 out of 10, that's too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed in Nebraska last year. They've been wearing their seatbelt at a minimum 69 alive today. Save more lives, and to do so, law enforcement across the state on the lookout for seatbelt violations. This month, the tickets will be written for seatbelt and child restraint violations, so please click it or ticket. A message from your friends at the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. If you miss Garrett Nelson, that was a lot of fun and a very proud player and excited to be part of Nebraska football. So you can log on HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or iTunes and get the podcast a little bit later today. Charlie McBride coming up. Jay Moore on the way. Vince Powers will join us. Which way is the wind blowing for you, Mr. T.J. Henning? Good write-up by Brandon Vogel. And he's taken into account, as he writes and says, 20% of the precinct are reporting the following. So it's the voters, right? Mm-hmm. And I think of, well, things that can go wrong when you vote and you transport votes. I just do. Sorry. So I look at this, and the popular pick is Nebraska fourth, at best third in the West. And when I filled out the preseason thought on Hail Varsity, it's in the magazine, our preseason projections. Listen, I think Nebraska can beat and probably will beat Wisconsin. There, I said it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, right?
June 26th. Mark it down.
Because Hornibrook scares me if I'm out of alcohol and I'm a Wisconsin fan.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, I'm...
Okay?
We've not been scared of their quarterbacks for a while, yet they keep doing things to us. So...
I like how nonchalantly, yeah, they keep doing things to us.
Yeah.
Listen... I'm worried about the rest of the schedule. Okay?
Yeah, I don't blame you.
You can beat Wisconsin head-to-head. But anywho, I had Nebraska finishing second. This is the magical year. You get Northwestern and Wisconsin at home, and you beat both of them.
Mm.
You don't lose by a combined 5 points. The rest of things, we'll talk later, could be up in the air.
TBD.
But third is where most of the college football folks have Nebraska. Phil Steele was with us last week, third. Lindy's, third. Athlon, third. Street and Smith, third. And there's somebody that has Nebraska fourth, which I get. I mean, like, worst case scenario, things aren't clicking yet. Okay, you lose more than you win.
Mm-hmm.
None of that's cool or acceptable, but it happens. Northwestern's been a flavorful number two pick. And then many feel it's going to be Nebraska and Iowa battling out for that third spot and better bowl game on the Black Friday after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Which way is the wind blowing for you? Are you more likely to say, okay, great season, they win the West, good year, they finish second and still beat Wisconsin? Reality says it'll be up and down with some wins, and it's another 5-4-ish type conference record that slots you in tied with a couple of other teams for third, or they just don't get it done this year because of transition and newness, and it's fourth. I don't think they finish fourth, and I guess I expect them, because of what they got on hand down there, to really knock on that number two door.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's more...
Specifically, who's coming here versus where you're going,
yeah,
schedule-wise.
For me, it's more reality right now, just because you haven't been able to beat Wisconsin lately. The last 2 years, you easily could have won those games, but you haven't. So just to assume that we're going to beat them...
Do you feel better that it's... You're at least in overtime or a kick at the buzzer,
oh, yeah,
versus... 408.
Yeah, it definitely shouldn't be a blowout by any means, but you still got to get over that hump. And right now, I kind of have.
I think they're closer to it.
Oh, for sure. But you still got to do it. Hmm. And they just, you know, they haven't been able to do it the last.
Why not
years.
Doing it at home?
Why not do it at home this year or 2 years ago when you had the awesome run by Janovich, but you just couldn't finish it off? But right now, I kind of have Nebraska like the 2.5. I'm kind of pushing a little bit. Like, I either think they're going to be second or third, and I'm kind of leaning towards Northwestern being second right now as of June 26th. Okay. Nebraska third, but that's kind of where the wind's blowing for me right now.
Is the Northwestern love deserved?
Yes and no.
Okay.
It's a lot of offseason hype.
You seem sad when I ask you that question.
It's just like, it's hard to fully buy into them. Obviously, you're in love with Thorson and Justin Jackson, but like, besides that,
defensively, I mean, they've kind of been pretty awesome.
Yeah, they've been all right, but Thorson's losing his favorite wide receiver in Carr. It's like, who's he going to go to now? I mean, that guy was escaped.
Who the hell was Austin Carr before last year?
Yeah, right. So it's hard to buy it a little bit being Northwestern, but I mean, they still got a terrific coach.
He's good. They know what they want. They're really good at it. And I mean, Nate Hall's a really, really good linebacker for him. So if you had to put your money down, are you betting second? Are you betting third? Are you betting fourth? Are you betting first? Put your money where your mouth is.
I'd go second.
Okay. What keeps them from first then? Just they're not gonna split with Penn State. If they win the West, they have to split with Ohio State or Penn State. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And you win all your home games against your other.
But it's like, are we for sure going to beat Iowa? 50?
Well, but.
I mean, you should. I know they haven't. They've lost.
I know they haven't been able to, but it should have happened. That's what kind of crazy, mixed up world we're living in right now, where you're closer to beating Wisconsin, and they've never really been better since the Russell Wilson days. I mean, they've been 11 wins the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Okay. You've been right there, but yet you're getting further apart from Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin's lost coaches, and they're still doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy how well that they've produced. I mean, the Badger envy, it's real.
No. It's never.
Yeah.
Never real. Brett texts in 88474 to Hale. First place, no question.
It's bold, Cotton.
Are you going basketball on me?
Is that what that's from?
Is that one you haven't seen before?
I have seen it. It was okay. I'm pretty sure I was thinking.
Oh, the roadkill scene? I lost it.
Now I can't remember the scenes. All I remember. Dodgeball story.
Okay.
Cotton, that one, yeah.
Okay, because they. You're right.
Yeah.
That's it. It was dodgeball. I messed up because basketball had Al Michaels and Costas together.
Oh, okay. That's right, yeah.
And the best line of that movie was, "You think you're excited? Feel these nipples."
Did Al Michaels say that?
No, it was Costas. It was Costas to Michaels.
Okay, that was pretty great.
That was so good.
Oh man.
Okay, there we have it.
We'll a no doubter by Brett. Wow.
Off the top rope, there might be some south of the border cerveza influencing that. Maybe not. I think they have a good shot at winning the division. I think they have a really, really good shot of finishing no worse than second. This is the year. All those bad dreams go bye-bye. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, 30-day free trial for you when you sign up, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Check out the website, amazing message board. You can, contribute to other Husker fans, chat, discuss, console. That is what you do with the ultimate online fan experience, HailVarsity.com. Up-to-the-minute breaking news, recruiting analysis, i.e. Jay Moore did tremendous work with the recruiting weekend, as did Jacob Padilla, and some premium content reserved for you, the Nebraska fan. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We're spending a little bit of time on the hot reads topic. And that's where Nebraska places in the Big Ten West. TJ is on the fence between 3-2. I'm on the fence between 1-2. Not losses. That's where they finish in the West.
Mm-hmm.
I just, listen. and it's welcome to frickin' June, almost July. It can't happen again. It can, but it shouldn't happen again. That is not going undefeated at home and taking advantage of this year, this schedule, this odd year.
Okay.
Where you don't lose to Northwestern, you don't lose to Wisconsin, and you don't lose to Iowa at home. You just had 7,000 show up to show support and put your best foot forward. This is what we're about. Come to Nebraska. Help us beat someday Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and whoever's in the New Year's Day 6 or college football playoff.
Mm-hmm. And Brett texted in, said, win the whole thing. Well, you better be able to win the whole thing every year. This is the Big Ten West. I mean, you better have a shot every year. It's not the SEC West or the Big Ten East. Like, come on now.
No, it's not. Now, I will say this about the West. It has been a pinata for a long time, and it needs to get a little more respect because of how Wisconsin's done.
Yeah, it's gotten better. But
what Northwestern's done, and specifically how some of the Western teams have done against the Eastern teams. Okay? Iowa is still the team that beat Michigan. Nebraska is still the team that beat Michigan State a couple years ago. Wisconsin had a monster schedule a year ago and rode that thing out to only three losses. And they should have beat Penn State. Should, I know. But give the West a little. The West is getting better.
It has gotten better. But
it's better. It's still
overall.
Illinois. It's still Illinois and Purdue, and I know that there's no stain remover for those. Well, maybe Brom will. But you have a less understanding fan base, in my opinion, if you don't take care of the ones at home. It's not going to be easy. You're not supposed to drop 40 on them. But it's okay to win at home in tight ball games against teams that you're supposed to be better than, based on reputation, revisionist history, whatever. That's the feel. It's not okay to lose to Northwestern at home. It's not okay to lose to Iowa ever, but it's happened.
Are we going to beat Ohio State at home?
Well, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
It would be cool. Just not likely.
Vegas says 18 and a half. Right now, you can call your friend in Vegas and get 18 and a half at home. Pull the trigger. Coach McBride's next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
In hour two, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Jay Moore coming up in 20 minutes. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. And he's brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus and also protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. Keeping promises and giving you peace of mind for nearly 130 years. Emeritus, proud to stand with Husker Athletics. Proud to bring you Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how are we doing today?
Okay. Pretty windy.
Is it? Yeah?
Oh, boy, is it ever.
Well, let me tell you this. We're sending you Chamber of Commerce amazing weather. It's going to come your way because it's been about 70 and just beautiful the last 3 days. A little rain today in eastern Nebraska. But it'll be up your way.
Good.
No?
Well, that's good. I mean, it is. We've had about 5 days of 15 miles an hour plus, and you get a lot of white caps, and you get a lot of it's not comfortable on the lake. Nobody really goes out because it's pretty rough with their boats and stuff.
Well,
so we just have to sit around and work.
Well, okay, so you're working. Let me ask you this before we get into some Nebraska stuff: how do you react if someone's in your fishing hole?
I got another one next to it, and you got some, if you have any fish, just hold the thing up. Show them all the fish. Pretty soon they'll come all sneak over by you.
Okay, okay.
And leave them. We went out fishing. Milt Tennifer and I went out west in the state, and the one guy was a professional fisherman, and his brother ran the store for him there. And when they got out with us, we were in two boats. People, as soon as they saw him on the lake, because, you know, they've known those kids all their lives.
Sure.
Most of the people. All of a sudden, you see a bunch of boats around you. and then all of a sudden, one of them, you know, we're not fishing next to each other, but we're, you know, 100 yards apart or so. They'll just come by, and he'll just say, G4, and boom, boom. And they have the lake all marked out where G4 is or H1 and all that stuff.
Wow.
It's a thing. And then they take off, and here comes all the boats again, and then they want to go somewhere else.
That's the way to do it. Just kind of tag along with the professionals.
Yeah. They had a bunch of wipers, they call them.
Yeah.
But, and you know, the two, I think my wife got two angler awards that day. She was won three fishing tournaments at the Orange Bowl.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, she's unconscious. she doesn't even know. She won't put a worm on a hook. But then she goes and catches all the fish. That's how you do it, right?
That's a good catch, Coach. I tell you that. That's impressive.
She's good at it now.
Well, wow. Three Orange Bowl tournament wins. I like that. That's pretty good. Charlie McBride with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, wanted to get your reaction to the Friday night camp. Nearly 7,000 Nebraska fans. They took over West Stadium to watch kids work out, kids compete in drills. And you just don't think you can be surprised again. But I was, and Coach Riley was extremely excited about it. Just the fan support that Nebraska fans showed this Friday. About 220, 230 prospects. Some really highly touted kids were on campus for the first time, and it wowed them. What's your reaction?
Well, I think that's unbelievable. I don't care where you go, there are people that support their school, and they support it with their heart. You know what I mean? It's not, it really means something to them. And when they go watch it, they're not just not over there having a, you know, they're really watching it. And, you know, so I think, you know, you can't not be impressed when you're a high school kid going in and you go to another camp and there might be 25 people hanging around or your parents or something like that. And so it's pretty, that to me is, you know, something that tells kids a lot. You know, just the environment and things like that when you're coming to a school that, you know, they don't expect it. And I think that's the best part of it. It's kind of an unexpected, you know, pleasure to have all those fans looking and being interested.
It is, absolutely. And the environment is, it's pretty, well, it makes you take notice if you're a prospect. And you know what? If it's 7,000 deep for a workout session, what's it going to be like for Wisconsin? You know, you'll want to come back.
Oh boy! Well, I mean, the whole thing is that you know, kids get those things change kids' minds, and those are the little things that you know. Other coaches can say what they want to say; they can talk and do all this stuff. But in the back of that kid's mind, he's always going to have that. And I'll tell you what he's going to do. If he doesn't come there and he has to come here and play, he will be nervous.
Yeah, I bet. Absolutely. Those little things you're talking about. No, and that's – you've probably gone up against a number of guys that said, you know what, thanks, Nebraska, but you're finishing second. I'm going somewhere else. And they never played that well against Nebraska, did they?
No, we had two really good-looking kids down at Lawrence and two twins. They were twins, and they had good-looking kids. And they went to – their last visit was to KU, of course. And, of course, they come home, and they went – they were going to go to KU. And I was at the house. I mean, I was at the school on Monday when, you know, to see them. And they went to KU – And I remember Jimmy Williams, one time one of the kids got, he was playing as a freshman, one of them, got hammered right by our bench. And the kid says, I'm only a freshman. And Jamie Williams said, you know, you ought to think about transferring. And that kid, neither one of them showed up for their game in Lincoln when they were seniors. They didn't get on the bus.
Really?
No, they didn't get on the bus and come to the game. But, you know, that kind of gives you some idea what, you know, you would be in, you would be, you know, have, if you had them, that's the kind of heart they had. So we didn't feel as bad.
No. The guy that I think about that never played well against Nebraska, and I think your defense had a lot to do with it, was Cordell Stewart, because you guys were in on him, and he never beat you guys.
Well, if you get a chance, go talk to John. He came off the sideline, and John said, you won't believe this. He said, I'm rushing him in the pass, and he's not even looking downfield. He's looking at me. I said, well, just keep it that way, will you, John? You know, but, I mean, he must have been a nervous wreck. See, now, he came down to when we were practicing down in New Orleans one time, and he came to practice, I know, and, of course, went on to go to Colorado, but but he, you know, he's a heck of an athlete. He really was, and I don't know. He had a great arm and everything else, but you know, if you go back and look, what he probably really was probably a receiver.
Sure, no, and that's pretty funny. So Coach Perella's like, Coach, he ain't even looking downfield.
He's not even looking. He said he's looking at me. I can't believe it.
That's pretty good. Coach, I want to spend a couple of minutes here. Bob Elliott, you know the family extremely well, and Coach Elliott is going to be an advisor now, and Scott Booker will take over the secondary and keep the special teams role. Thinking about Coach Bob and just hope things are okay. Tell me a little bit how things will move now with the safeties, because this is their third coach in 3 years.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fine because you have, and Bobby's going to be around, and you know, there's the three of them, you know, the coordinator and the other, and Bobby have worked with them before. They've been, you know, they know each other. It's not like a big surprise, somebody coming in you don't really know. So I think he'd have a pretty good handle on, you know, what's going on. It wouldn't be like you have to break some guy in 10 minutes or something like that. So I think that, you know, Diaco's got it in hand, I think. And then you have another, even the who's coaching the corners, and then even that, you know, you get help from him. And, you know, you don't stand there not hear what the safety coach is saying. So usually, you know, even if you had to do it at the last, you just take the cornerback coach and coach the whole secondary, you know.
Sure.
But I think when you got it broken down like that and you have enough coaches to do that, I think that's a good idea. And I think it'd be fine. I you worry more about the kids, how they are receiving him is probably – you know, pretty important, and especially the young kids, it won't affect as much as those that have been turned over with new coaches every year.
A few minutes left. Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, sent you a text this weekend and sending condolences to you and those who coached with and for Coach Cush down at Arizona State, and we're thinking about you, obviously, with his passing, and wanted to get your thoughts on just what'd you take away from Coach Cush? I mean, what impression was left?
Well, the thing is he was a tough taskmaster, I'll tell you that. And he gave me my first job. And, you know, we've been friends ever since. When I left, he thought it was a good move for me. And, you know, he was positive about it. When I come back, you know, I see him all the time. I mean, every time we've come back to see our kids down in Arizona at spring break and everything, I'd spend time with them. And, you know, he's one of those guys that if he isn't on the field, he's over. He's over with the Boy Scouts, you know, taking him on a camping trip, or he's coaching the Little League, and he's always always with young people. And you know, even though he's a tough guy, there's a lot of guys that didn't like him when they played for him, and because he didn't fool around. And but all of those guys that all were like that loved the heck out of him for what he taught them. And, you know, I've heard from a bunch of the players that I coached wondering if I was going to be able to get back. And we just can't. With what we're in here, we can't do it. And so, and I talked to two of the coaches that are still moving alive, and they're pretty devastated. You know, but he's a guy that will, you know, be in Arizona State history forever and ever.
Looking at his numbers and just kind of his coaching tree and the influence, it's remarkable. I also read a little bit about his motivational techniques and specifically the drill Bull in the Ring. Do you remember that? Did we lose Coach? Shoot, we lost Coach. Well, see if we got him. See if we can get him, Tej. And if not, we can talk another time. But no, Coach McBride was extremely sad, and you understand him with Coach Cush's passing. That was his first job, and Coach McBride worked for Arizona State 67 through 69, and then to Wisconsin, and then from Wisconsin to Nebraska. So if we do not get Coach McBride back, we'll try. We got him. Coach, we lost you there.
Must have hit a sinking spell.
No, you're fine. We have about a minute left. I was asking you about Coach Cush's motivational ability, and I was reading about the drill Bull in the Ring. Do you remember that?
Oh, sure. You know, and it worked, especially with the linemen. You know, all the front seven guys got in there and started whacking each other and getting all fired. And I'll tell you what, they didn't worry too much about it. There was some blood going right now before the game even started. But he was always a guy. The first 2 years, I won't use the words over the phone, but I thought my name changed to Dumb something. Don Baker was the backfield coach. We kind of ran the offense. Two of us, we had no coordinators. We just did it together. Mm-hmm. But everything we did stunk. That was bad. And then he'd call it about 30 times in the game. he never lets you feel like you're always on edge with him.
Yeah. Well, Coach, thanks for sharing a couple of thoughts on Coach Cush. And again, our thoughts and prayers with you and the Arizona State folks.
You.
But
I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for him. You know, kind of hard talking about him.
Well, man, appreciate you spending a few minutes on it.
Okay.
Coach, we'll catch up with you next week enjoy the rest of your week. And again, thoughts with you, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Coach,
I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Coach.
Bye.
Take
now.
Care. All right, there he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie, and you can hear the respect and love in his voice for Coach Cush. The Bull in the Ring drill is there's some guy in the middle that needed motivation, a number's called out, and there's gladiator battle within the ring between the two players until Cush had enough. He'd eventually blow a whistle. This is one of the drills of motivation.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Who's Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
There he is, number 44, at Jay Moore 44. Big thanks to Coach McBride, last segment. It's Jay Moore with us now. Bird, how we doing?
Good, guys. How you guys doing?
We're
all
right.
Monday, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you cut out. What's up?
I said it's not too bad for a Monday.
No. I wanted to kind of stay outside. We need a convertible studio. That's how nice it was.
That sounds great.
Well, I'm gonna blame or credit you for the weekend of amazing weather, all the recruits and prospects coming to see you, and just go with that. I can log on HaleVarsity.com and read Jay Moore's seven prospects who looked the part at Friday Night Lights. Jay, I have not chatted with you in a while, so I wanted to get your thoughts on Friday and some of your impressions. What'd you think of the night? What'd you think of 7,000 strong or a little shy up?
Yeah, right. No, obviously it's really impressive. I mean, that type of, those people coming out. And like I said, I was joking with people earlier. You offer free food to some people, and they're gonna come out, you know.
Yeah, that's why.
They're gonna see some people out. But no, I mean, obviously, when you have, 15. I mean, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but 15 top level. You're talking, four and five star recruits all over the country that are all at Memorial Stadium one night. I mean, those people want to come out and see them work out. And the guys they had there were very impressive, and it was just. It's impressive just period just to get 7,000 people on a Friday afternoon, and the weather was phenomenal, and it was a fun atmosphere, and it was I'm glad all the recruits and other high school kids were able to get in front of that many fans. I mean, a lot of them had to be the most people they've ever performed in front of, period. So it was a fun night.
All right, Jay, the most impressive guy at that camp was
Micah Parsons. Yeah, no doubt. His sheer body size. I mean, he, like I said, when I was talking to you guys on Saturday, I mean, he looks like he he's going into his second or third year on the team. I mean, he's that put together. He looks like he's about 23 instead of 17 or 18, whatever he might be right now. I'm guessing 17. He's just a good looking prospect, man. And just his athletic ability, being able to line up as wide receiver and go get balls. And obviously, he's going to be an outside linebacker, DN. In this 3-4 scheme, but his athletic ability, his size, his ability to move, there's a reason why he's a 4-star guy, and everyone in the nation wants him, especially those teams in the Big Ten, being a Pennsylvania guy.
Jay Moore's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. His thoughts on Friday night, the campers that impressed him. Now, Jay, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts here. You're a guy who will watch film. And you have watched Tuttle film of some of the kids that we've talked about or talked to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the difference for you seeing him in person?
Oh, just their body size. I think, you see film of like, the kid out of California that's already committed. Chase, is it Chase Williams?
Yes, name? Chase. Or Manny, yes. Yeah, Chase, yeah. Is the safety, yeah. Slash athlete.
Yes. Yeah, so he's like 6'2". And Houston Griffith, the other kid out of one of the other IMG guys, their body size, I mean, they're legitimate 6'1", 6'2". On film, that you really can't tell that on huddle, but, you see them in person, like, wow, this kid can, like I said in the article that got sent out on social media on Saturday, was a lot of these guys are just kind of Swiss Army knives. You can kind of take them and do what you want. I think early on in their career, they're a little smaller. Yeah, they can play, maybe a safety, but you can also eventually morph them into a hybrid role, kind of like a Jamel Williams was, a guy that could play linebacker, but that could just absolutely run. Guys that you can get the absolute most speed on the field at one time. And, yeah, he might be 6'2", 225, but, yeah, I guess, if he can run and run all day and make plays and chase people down and make people, make blockers miss him, I'll take that all day. You can't coach speed. You can't teach speed. And all these guys, especially in the secondary that are in town, they're just big bodies that I think you could eventually – morph into those type of players.
Jay Moore's with us on Hale Varsity Radio at JayMoore44. Well, Jay, in your article, you spent a little bit of time on Chase Williams. He's out of Corona, the athlete, and you touched on a little bit what McBride did defensively, and you highlighted one of the hybrid guys, Jamel Williams. You think of Terrell Farley. Mm-hmm. You think of DeMario, who you played with, guys that can play anywhere. Do you see some of these body types here that were on hand Friday night? Do you see Nebraska and Diaco maybe doing that? There's still a long time till signing day, and there's still recruitment that needs to happen. But best case scenario, say you get who you want. Do you think that's something that could be in the cards? Just having of an 11-man defense, having three or four hybrid slash Swiss Army guys in the 3-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. I think Chase, and I think that Houston Griffin, I think those are the main two guys that kind of stick out my mind with that, is because, you know, like I said, you don't know how their bodies, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, maybe at the IMG Academy, they're getting a lot more attention with the training and the eating regimen, but some of these guys are getting, you know, where football's 24/7, it's 4 or 5 times a week working out, and you're eating properly, these guys could blow up. I mean, these guys could put on 25 pounds of muscle in no time. You don't know it. And all of a sudden, they're 6'2", 230, mm-hmm. and you're able to use them as those hybrid roles, and you're kind of, which is great. I mean, like I said, you can't teach speed, and that's what those guys possess: athletic ability, and just to just flat out run all over the field, make plays, cause chaos. And I also mentioned erasers, having the ability to make up for mistakes. You know, a guy, you know, gets out of his gap or something happens where he makes a mistake, but just with his sheer speed, you can erase a lot of mistakes, like Levante David is able to do when his time was here. And those guys, I could potentially, I don't want to say that's what they're going to be, but I think if that happens where they're able to gain 15, 20, 25 pounds of muscle, you're going to see those guys being able to play a hybrid linebacker or a linebacker and dime and nickel situations where you're just kind of like an Eric Hag was able to kind of do sometimes and just run all over the field and make plays.
So over the weekend, you got two commitments, but prior to those two commitments, your latest one was Joshua Moore. What did you see from him? And you played in the NFL. Seems like you have an NFL comparison already for him.
Yeah, he is, he's an NFL body. I think I told you guys last week on the radio, but it's AJ Green to me. That's what he looks like. That's what his build is. That's how he's put together. Just kind of long and lanky, but just he's super smooth. Just kind of effortless power and burst, and that's what, you know, those longer guys always kind of look like that. But it's like, man, doesn't look like he's working very hard, but he's going faster than everyone else. That's what he's got, the athletic ability. He already has really good work ethic. I mean, the kid already prepares and works at it like he's already in college or as an NFL player. So you pair those things together with top-level coaching, weight room, you name it, the type of attention you're going to get, and the sky's the limit for that kid.
What are your thoughts on Chris Hickman? He's the Burke talent.
Yeah.
He's a 2019 kid. I think Ole Miss has offered him. I think everyone but Nebraska's offered him. And you're an Omaha guy. I know you're Elkhorn, but you know a lot of folks up in Omaha, and they're wowed by him. Were you wowed by him?
Yeah, he's a hell of an athlete. I've seen him a couple different areas where, and I've stood next to him. He's a little taller than me. He's just long and lean. Comparison, if I could think of like an NFL type comparison, it would be like, oh, what's his face was out at Stanford, but more athletic, like is it Fleener?
Fleener or Eifert?
Yeah. Eifert was with Notre Dame. I think Fleener's a little better athlete than Eifert, but I think where Hickman comes in is his sheer athletic ability. He has the frame to put on 25 pounds, no problem. You won't even know it just because he's so long and lean. There's not an ounce of fat on him, and I don't think he's worked very hard in the weight room yet because he's so young. So there's all sorts of room to grow there, but he would be a matchup nightmare. Just his athletic ability and long and length. It's, you know, you put him like kind of what Gronk does with New England. You get him on some shorter DBs and safeties. It's like, all right, we'll just jump ball 50-50 and good luck. I mean, there's, you know, you got a 25% chance of winning, you know, as that DB, and you know the tight end has a 75% chance in that scenario. I'll take those type of matchups all day.
Jay, I want to wrap it with this, and you mentioned Houston Griffith and his ability, and you also spent time on Micah Parsons and Chase Williams as some of the seven that wowed you. I want to finish with Buki, and he's a guy that we've had a chance to talk to a couple of times, and from an interview standpoint, we're wowed. Well, you got a chance to see him in person, and he's kind of the domino guy for the class, but he's also kind of probably a domino guy athletically for a mindset or attitude. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he has that pit bull and bulldog mentality to him. I think, you know, he's not the biggest guy. He was one of those guys that you know, he was a little smaller than I was expecting, but he has, when he's one-on-one with someone, he's rarely going to lose. And you love to have that. You love to have that guy that just wants to compete. And, you know, he might not be, I mean, he's very physically gifted as an athlete. But when you're that small, you're kind of, you know, the cards are kind of stacked against you sometimes. But he makes sure that's not the situation. And he fights his ass off. And he makes plays on balls. He's physical. And he has this extra burst when that ball's in there. He just goes and gets it. And that's fun to see. That's one kid that you know that he's going to work and he's going to fight and he's going to compete. And you want those guys on your team all day long.
We want you on our team. We're happy to have you on our team. Jay Moore, at JMoore44 on Twitter, HailVarsity.com. Read Jay's write-up on last Friday's Friday Night Lights and some of the kids that impressed him. Bird, will catch up with you again this week. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yep, you got it, fellas.
Take care. There he is, Jay Moore. And he ain't kidding. It's about as perfect outside as you get. That's completely right on. Vince Powers Law will join us, get his thoughts and reaction to the charges against Amon Green next segment. 466-3776, 466-3776-800, 825-5865. Those are the numbers. A four-pack VIP for tomorrow night, for the Salt Dogs at Haymarket. Why not go to Haymarket on a Tuesday? It's beautiful. It's fun. It's family friendly. It is free. A four-pack VIP. That's amazing seats for you and your loved ones. Caller 5 right now for these Salt Dog VIP tickets for tomorrow night. Caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, caller 5, right now, VIP tickets to the Dogs.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for your time. Great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, shortly we'll get caught up with Vince Powers. Vince Powers Law, at Vince_Powers, get his thoughts and reaction from the legal perspective on Amon Green. TMZ.com, out with this a few hours back. Amon Green, this 15-year-old daughter, told police her dad punched her in the face after an argument over doing the dishes. Again, this is from TMZ, TMZ Sports. But that's not what Amon says happened. The ex-Packer arrested today after cops responded to his Wisconsin home at 11:26 from a 911 call by the neighbor. Now, according to the complaint, Amon's daughter says the two had been arguing all day long about chores. She did not want to wash the dishes, and tension mounted between her and Amon, and then things came to a head. According to Green's daughter, the ex-NFL star grabbed her, threw her to the ground, and up against the kitchen cabinets before punching her in the face. Cops arrived. The officers noticed that her left eye was swollen and slightly black and blue and had two minor scratches. Amon's side of the story, according to the report, Amon admits they were arguing and things got physical, but insists he did not punch her. Instead, he slapped her upside the head, and her glasses caused the damage to her face. He admits to pushing her during the argument. Basically, again, from TMZ.com, Green's defense is he was physically disciplining his child, not abusing her. Cops then arrested Amon, and he's been charged with felony child abuse and disorderly conduct. Amon Green has not commented, but his picture is up for all to see, the mugshot. And I think Amon was on the show a year ago, 2 years ago. And this is a tough, tough story. And we'll hear from Vince Powers shortly on how this plays out and what is the legal process. We bring on a tremendous legal mind, Vince Powers with us. Vince Powers Law at Vince_Powers on Twitter. Vince, thanks for taking a few minutes. Appreciate your time. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Good. Sorry to hear about this.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to speak with you about. And your thoughts from a legal standpoint on the Amon Green news and the charges against him.
Well, you know, from what I know, and of course it's all based on the media reports, yeah. It looks like it's a serious issue. You have a 15-year-old who had a, you know, bruising on her face, and under Wisconsin law, he's charged with a felony that carries up to 6 years in prison. And what's unusual about Wisconsin law is, though, you have a defense. So Amon Green has a defense. It's called the parent's defense, that he was using parental discipline. And it says reasonable discipline, you can use as much force as a reasonable person would use. And so we're going to hear a lot more about what happened. And, of course, none of us were in the house. But right. He said, you know, I was trying to do chores, 15. The mother-in-law has come out and said this young girl was trying to get her dad in trouble. So that just tells you, like, oh, there's a lot going on there. But ultimately, you're looking at a felony, and there's a bruise on a 15-year-old's face.
Vince Powers is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. So, Vince, does it vary state to state? Is there a law? Okay, so
it does, and Wisconsin has this pattern, or where they have quite a few different felonies. It seems to be in vogue now. You have all these others. So he's charged with the second least serious felony, carries up to 6 years in prison. And there's another felony if he just recklessly causes bodily harm. It's what they call a Class I felony, and it carries up to 3.5 years. Right now, the difference is that he's charged with causing great bodily harm. And so you get in these arguments or these discussions in front of a jury, I'm sure, what's, you know, bodily harm. If the pictures or what they said happened, that's certainly bodily harm. A jury might say, well, I don't think that's great bodily harm. They have another way to, if there's high probability that could be great bodily harm. And then you have the parent saying, this is discipline. And so what's unusual, Chris, about this is, you know, these type of charges cut across so many issues in our society. Mm-hmm. What should government be doing about, you know, interfering in the home and whatnot? So that's why they have the parental defense, and the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he wasn't disciplining his child. But nobody can excuse hitting a 15-year-old with enough force as to cause, you know, the bruising and whatnot. So it's just not good on any level.
Vince, with the Wisconsin prosecution side of the aisle, what do you think they do with this?
Well, I think
there's so many balls in the air here between.
Yeah, here's what you do if you're the prosecutor, of course, and this is something that I think people continue to misunderstand. That people say, well, he played football or he's a celebrity. That makes it tougher because the county attorney gets elected. The last thing the county attorney wants is some lawyer running against him saying she or he let a child abuser off, right? Mm-hmm. The judge in Wisconsin gets elected. The last thing that judge wants to do is say the child abuser, you know, they let a football player. So that's not good. But the other thing is, though, you have this defense, and so hopefully there's a system that says somehow they can cut through all of this. And I could see Amon Green getting a misdemeanor, certainly anger management, probation, jail at the end of it if he doesn't complete it. But the fact that a felony affects your ability to make a living, and so it's the kind of case that I'm sure the prosecutor, the defense attorney, the judge, it's like, we don't want this family turmoil in our courtroom. Can't we figure out a way that's good for everybody involved? And clearly, you know, Amon Green confessed to having done some of the behavior. They're talking about throwing his daughter into the wall or something. And so it should get worked out, but it's not like what we've talked about before. You know, it's not a victimless crime.
Sure, absolutely. Vince, thanks for your legal expertise on this, and thanks for giving us a couple minutes here and kind of breaking down how things can go and what's potentially next. Thanks for jumping on with us on this.
Have a great summer, and let's hope that you don't have to call me again about anything. Maybe like you could call me and say, Vince, how do I divide up my lottery winnings?
I will absolutely call Vince Powers for that and give Vince some of them.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. There is Vince Powers with us. Yeah. So when we call Vince, it's usually not great news at all. But Vince is super smart and has been practicing law at an amazing level for a long time. So that's who we check in on, and he's right there. Parental discipline is the defense, but per the reports, it's not good. And that's the best way to put it. It's not good for anybody. We'll say goodbye to a Monday next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to it. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Big thanks to Vince Powers. Thoughts on Amon Green. Jay Moore. On Friday Night Lights and Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride this hour. Garrett Nelson joined us in Hour 1. The podcast there for you, your convenience, the ESPN Lincoln app. You can download there. App is free, and it's beautiful, no matter what smartphone you have. You can go to HailVarsity.com and check out the podcast. And, yes, also subscribe to it for free on iTunes. So I was listening to the Saturday podcast to see what Kranak would say about me. And I have to admit, I had some Dos Equis run out of my nose because I was laughing. Just to open the show, I was in Beatrice, early baseball game, but Kranak thought I was trolling for Cam Jurgens like memorabilia / relics to add to my display.
Yep.
Like I'm Finkel or Einhorn.
Yeah.
No. We've talked to him twice. I'm not trolling Beatrice for, you know, a YMCA jersey of Cam Jurgens to throw on eBay. But the way he laid that out made it sound believable. I'm here to say I was there watching my kid play baseball.
But
I found that out on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. My mom asked me, who are you hosting Saturday morning with? Kranak?
What's wrong with that guy?
Kranak? And I was like, no, it's Kranak.
Yeah. He's special.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's a good guy.
Okay, tomorrow on the show, Justin Holm, Lincoln Southwest. He is walking on to Nebraska. Justin will join us. He's excited to get a chance at Nebraska football. Mitch Sherman, College World Series. Will be an opportunity to clinch a championship for either Florida or LSU. And I need to say thank you to Florida or LSU.
Why is that?
Because I had Florida in the degenerate parents CWS pool.
Mm.
The wife had LSU. And I fronted my wife money. It's now my money.
There you go.
So we won the office pool.
Nice.
And then we'll get caught up with Mr. Recruiting. And I called him an icon last week because he is.
Wow.
Greg Smith will join us.
The iconic.
To kind of put a bow on the recruiting and kind of see what Greg thinks, who's leaning where, what he's hearing, what he's feeling. So that is on the docket for Tuesday. So that's where we're at. So, yeah, have a good – what's even going on tonight?
Well, we have the NBA Awards show.
Mm. Better Call Saul is done. But the award show is being hosted by Drake.
That's right.
Is it going to be
on TNT?
Is it going to be a freak show tonight?
Probably. It's the first ever time they've done it, because usually they give those awards pretty close after the playoffs, and the regular season ended about 2.5 months ago. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Russell Westbrook probably wins the MVP. I'm thinking.
I think you got to recalibrate that.
Give it to
LeBron.
I. He's the best player, but it's a regular season award, and LeBron wasn't the best regular season player this year.
You're right. He only got his team to the finals.
Yep, that was in the playoffs.
Versus getting bounced and...
It's a regular season award. Don't get mad at me.
So you're defending the geek chic?
Yeah, and he might win best fashion. Who knows?
My Lord. Tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity. Talk to you then. Thank you for listening.